Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19. Christ speaking to the believers at Laodicea. He tells them this. He lays down a principle. Remember, the Spirit is saying this to the churches today. This is an abiding principle, not just for the church at Laodicea 2,000 years ago. Oh, no. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Very few words, but how searching, how solemn, how strong are these words. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Revelation 3 and verse 19. I cannot see these words being very popular in the prosperity gospel churches, can you? I can't see those churches that are full of fun enjoying such a ministry as this. What a statement from the words of the Lord Christ himself. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Notice the basis of it. Love. This is real love, not that sugar candy love. Not that flippant kind of love. Not that pop crooner's love. Oh no. This is the love of Christ. The love of God in Christ. This is how the Spirit loves the churches. Those whom I love, I rebuke. Well, we don't put those two words together today, do we? Love and rebuke. Christ doesn't rebuke today, does he? Of course he does. Those whom I love, I rebuke. And if that's not enough, I discipline. I bring under the rod. I govern. I lead through trials and difficulties and afflictions and setbacks and disappointments. I try them. I test them. The old word is chasten. And of course, the key passage where this is expounded in tremendous detail is Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 to 13. And there the writer is explicit. Christ is explicit. If you don't have discipline, if you don't have chastening from the Lord Christ himself, it is only because you are not a child of God. Will you hear that again? If you do not meet setback, disappointment from the hand of Christ, not just by circumstances, but directly by the hand of Christ, chastening, discipline, rebuking, then it's a sure mark that you are not a child of God. Of God. That's what Hebrews 12, 1 to 13 says very clearly, and so does Revelation 3 and verse 19. There are none exempt. There are no exceptions. If we have not met trials and difficulties, it is either because we are very young believers, very, very young believers, new in the faith, or else we're not believers at all. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Let me quote the hymn by William Cowper. I'm not sure how many churches will be singing this kind of hymn today. 'Tis my happiness below, not to live without... What would they say today? 'Tis my happiness below, not to live without fun and food and... so-called fellowship. That's what the churches talk about today. No, listen to what Cowper says. I believe he's capturing the spirit of Hebrews 12 and Revelation 3 verse 19 here. 'Tis my happiness below, not to live without the cross, but the Saviour's power to know, sanctifying every loss. What? Singing about the cross? Not the cross of Christ, but my cross for Christ. And the loss? Singing about that? Trials? Singing about trials? Trials must and will befall. But with humble faith to see love inscribed upon them all. This is happiness to me. Brother and sister, that's what we should be looking for. That's how we should be viewing things. Trials make the promise sweet. Trials give new life to prayer. Trials bring me to his feet. Lay me low and... keep me there. There's my happiness. This is what Cowper is saying. Did I meet no trials here, no chastisement by the way, might I not with reason fear I should prove a castaway? Bastards may escape the rod, sunk in earthly vain delight. Oh, what a word! Bastards may escape the rod, sunk in earthly vain delight, but the true-born child of God must not, would not, if he might. That's what Cowper said. And surely he's caught the spirit of Revelation 3:19, Hebrews 12:1-13. This applies to the individual believer. It applies to churches. There are none exempt, except the unbeliever. You see, I don't say the unbeliever doesn't meet setback and disappointment, but from the hand of Christ, spiritual rebuke from Christ is only given to the believer. Unbeliever listening to me, you will escape this rod of Christ now, but you will get your comeuppance at the great day of judgment. Do not congratulate yourself that you are free of Christ's rebuke now. The rebuke is there in the gospel. You will perish because you refuse to trust him. There is the rebuke. John 3 is explicit. Explicit, I say. Unless you repent and believe, you will perish. So says Christ in Luke. Now this trial, these trials, are designed by Christ, and they're administered by Christ. I, not mere coincidence. It's Christ, and he's doing it, designing it, and based on, and working it all out in spiritual love for his people. That's the wonder of it. It's love. Now there are no churches, however mega they might be, who are too big for Christ. There are no churches too rich for Christ, too powerful for Christ, too successful for Christ. He will discipline every church, and he will discipline every individual believer. Paul Baines, the Puritan, said, God pitcheth upon persons. He lights upon individuals, and I will extend that now. He lights upon and chastens churches too. As I say again, there are none exempt. This is a very serious business, is it not? Christ is in deadly earnest here. Brother and sister, we must be in deadly earnest. Trials will come from Christ, disappointments. See the hand of love in them. Mark the hand of love. That's what Cowper said. That's my happiness, to see that Christ's love is in it. It's not easy. Do it by faith, my brother, my sister. I challenge all these laugh-a-minute Christians, all these laugh-a-minute churches, where it's fun, fellowship, and food all the time. Oh, I urge you, my brother and sister, come in out of the dream world. Come into the real world of Revelation 3:19 and Hebrews 12:1-13. The rod of Christ, the rebuke of Christ, the chastening of Christ, the chastisement coming from Christ is because he loves his people. And everyone he loves, he rebukes. And those he does not rebuke in this way is a sure sign that he does not love them in this spiritual saving love. These are solemn words. They're words of warning, but they're words of encouragement. Let us see our trials in this light. We sometimes sing, and sanctify to us our deepest distress. This is what it means. Make us see the spiritual good in it, and may we learn from this. This is the word of Christ to the church at Laodicea, and it's the word of Christ to us today. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline.